Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines. If you have listened before, you know what this is all about, and if not, this is a place where we look at stories that our reporters have been covering right across the UK. Things that have been in our news bulletins, or maybe our reporters have been out and about speaking to people that you might not have noticed in bulletins today. And we might even bring you something that's just completely bypassed you. One from bulletins today, and Jess Phillips is undergoing pressure to resign as safeguarding minister over her handling of a national grooming inquiry. The Prime Minister says the MP has his full support, but grooming gang victims say they've lost faith in her. Our political reporter Tom Claiborne has more on this one.
After the withdrawal of former police officer Jim Gamble and Director of Children's Services for Lambeth Annie Hudson, it's back to square one for ministers when it comes to who will head up this national work. But Number 10 insists this inquiry is not going to be changed, and nor is the government's head of safeguarding.
I understand why the survivor community have got different views about the person who should be chair of the inquiry, about the full scope of the inquiry and about the timing of it, because lots of them have been waiting for a long time to have an inquiry that provides justice. The job of government is to listen to all those different views and then make some decisions.
Education Minister Josh McAllister there. Mr Gamble said he withdrew because of a lack of confidence some victims had in him because of his former role. But he also hit out at politicians, including the leader of the opposition, Kemi Badenoch, for, quote, playing games with the inquiry and saying victims had been disrespected and misinformed. He says the chair should be picked based on their integrity and character above all. Shadow Housing Secretary James Cleverly says listening to survivors needs to be the number one priority now.
When they are telling us they have lost faith in Jess Phillips as the safeguarding minister, when they are telling us they want a judge or a former judge to head up this inquiry, we are duty bound to listen to those people. I want to make sure that they have full confidence in the process, and I want to make sure that we listen to them, and I want to make sure the lessons that we learn from them are quickly applied.
The Home Office says it's disappointed with these withdrawals, and it'll now take time to appoint the best person suitable for this role.
Well, the Home Office says it's disappointed with these withdrawals and that it needed to take the time to appoint the best person suitable for this role. Well, we've been speaking to a survivor of grooming gangs, Ellie Reynolds, who was abused in Barrow-in-Furness, and she tells us she felt like victims were being controlled to determine the outcome of a cover-up. She's been speaking to our reporter, Katie Lyons.
We were very controlled in the sense of, you know, we were stripped of our voices basically to suit a narrative, and the narrative was not in the survivor's favour, because if it was in the survivor's favour, it would have been raw, it would have been authentic, it would have been, you know, it would have been justice, it would have been that what everybody's been waiting for many, many years.
And you are among those calling for Jess Phillips to stand down, aren't you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what language, really, body language, the way that she condoned herself and conducted herself in the House of Commons, what makes people think that she is fit for the role to be around and liaise with survivors when that's how she can hold herself in the House of Commons? It was very unprofessional. It was disgusting. And for her to publicly accuse me, Fiona, and other survivors of being a liar, especially when we can back everything up with evidence, I think was very unprofessional and inhumane.
So Keir Starmer says he has full confidence in Jess Phillips. Well, next, and it is that time already, the first poppies have gone on sale in this year's appeal. The Royal British Legion's aiming to raise £50 million to support veterans. And there's been a very cute moment today as they went on sale. Our reporter Jessica Payne has been at a launch event in Bristol.
Bristol's poppy appeal began with a very moving moment when the year's first poppy was given to 10-week-old baby Annie, who comes from a long line of servicemen and women. Annie's mum, Becky Harrell, says it was a poignant moment.
It's a big part of our family, you know. Every generation has served in the armed forces. My parents met in the army, and my granddad was in the army, and it's just a big part of our family legacy to be part of this organisation.
It's been quite an emotional full circle moment to have this.
Absolutely, yeah. Trying not to cry.
Brigadier Neville Holmes opened the event.
Personally, I've been in the forces for 30-odd years, and of course have lost some very dear friends. And their memory lives on, and that's great, and we do remember. But what the poppy does, I guess it almost forces in a way to have a moment of reflection.
From today, veterans and members of the British Legion will be in Cabot Circus and towns and cities across the country to sell their poppies and to urge the British public to commemorate and remember the lives we've lost. Next, we've got a story about a man who has been in headlines for the past couple of days. And a castle owner in the Scottish Highlands is defending her invitation to Prince Andrew to live at her property. It comes amid reports that King Charles is trying to convince his brother to relocate. Our reporter Liam Ross has more.
Samantha Kane, also known as Lady Corbisdale, received a considerable backlash when she first posted her invitation on social media yesterday. Speaking with me earlier, she feels a move to her private property, saving money on the public purse, is a good move.
It's a win-win for everyone, I think.
You're saying a win-win there, though, but it might not be a win-win for the public who don't want them, who don't want the Prince Andrew with what he's been alleged to have done nearby.
Then if this is the case, then we are getting into a lynch mob kind of mentality where people don't want someone because of they heard something or another.
There's mounting pressure on Prince Andrew over his links to convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. That has led to the King reportedly trying to persuade Andrew to move to the Castle of May, a property he inherited from his grandmother and visits regularly. Nearby resident Martin Nicholson feels Andrew isn't needed close to him and has this opinion on what the late Queen Mother would think.
Castle of May was her home, and she's loved it up here, and she'd be, I would think, turning in her grave even if thought of him coming up and being present in the Castle of May.
Now, Downing Street has said MPs will not be given time in the House of Commons to discuss Prince Andrew's conduct because the royal family wants Parliament to focus on other important issues.
A major story from our bulletins today now from Northern Ireland. And after weeks of hearing evidence in the Soldier F trial, a judge has found the ex-paratrooper not guilty of two murders and five attempted murders on Bloody Sunday. In 1972, 13 people were shot and killed by British Army soldiers. This morning, Judge Patrick Lynch said the evidence fell well short of what was required for a conviction. Our Northwest reporter Chelsea Keeley was at Belfast Crown Court.
Following the judge's verdict, outside court, Veterans Commissioner David Johnston welcomed the ruling.
Soldier F has faced legal scrutiny in various forms for more than a quarter of a century, and it is my hope that today's ruling brings that long and arduous process to a close.
His comments were met with applause, so were those from relatives of people killed more than 50 years ago who addressed the media. A short time ago, I spoke with Mickey McKinney. Soldier F was accused of killing his brother Willie on Bloody Sunday.
It was a very sensitive few hours on there. Hearing that verdict, it was really bitter disappointment. We still feel okay. We took this guy to the wire.
You can hear and see more on our socials.
Now, I don't know about you, but I can't help but notice how dark it is in the mornings and in the early evenings too at the minute. And as the nights draw in, cyclists have been telling us how frightening it can be to ride your bike in the dark. Campaigners took part in a glow ride last night in York, calling for safer night cycling. And our reporter Cathy Green was there at the start line.
Around 100 cyclists set out on the protest ride, their bikes wrapped in colourful fairy lights, many carrying flashing glow sticks in their baskets. 8-year-old Sapri took part and says drivers need to be aware.
I hate going on the road when it's a busy road because the cars come zooming past you and you don't even know when they're coming.
What would you like drivers to know about then? If there's a driver listening to this, what would you say to them as you're on your bike?
Maybe they should be like a bit slower when a bike is like on the side because some cars go really fast and they might hit the cyclist.
Similar rides took place across the country with campaigners saying they also want to draw attention to the need for better cycling routes.
And I don't know why, but fly tipping is one of those things that really, really irritates me. And record levels of rubbish dumping in Newport's causing the city to be dubbed the fly tipping capital of Wales. No one wants to be called that, do they? The latest figures show a shocking 6,000% rise in incidents over the past 20 years. Our reporter, George Simons, reports from Dufferin.
I'm standing on a quiet street in rural Newport, but just beside me, piles of ripped open bin bags, leaking rubbish, food waste, tin cans, plastic bottles, all onto the grass. But this doesn't seem to be an issue just in small towns. Statistics show fly tipping is getting worse and worse in cities like Newport. I've been speaking with Sally, who runs a clothing shop on the high street.
I have seen it. And funny enough, we did have, around the corner, somebody did put a settee and some trolleys and all the other week.
Do you think the council's doing enough to pick it up? Or?
I just think they're overstretched. I just think there's just not enough men out there to do the job that needs to be done.
Now, Newport Council says it's increasing efforts to crack down on fly tipping, while the Welsh Government says it funds Fly Tipping Action Wales to help tackle the problem.
Now, for more on these stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels. And be sure to come back here tomorrow when I'll bring you Behind the Headlines once again.